Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that many will avoid. We're talking about a subject today that I believe is the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental reason and rationale behind what we see taking place with the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party. That is a total disregard for the Word of God, a total rejection of the Word of God, a total rejection of what God says. And we're focusing on some of the Ten Commandments and what the Democratic Party is doing in relationship to that. The first one that I call to our attention, by the way, let me remind you, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. If you'd like to jump in this dialogue and discussion, we'd love for you to do so. Dial that number, goes right through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, and discussion on the issue. The first one we're looking at, Thou Shalt Not Kill. Ladies and gentlemen, it's this administration, this Democratic Socialist Communist Party, I believe is the most deadly party in their activities and laws passed of anything in American history. The Democrats and the far left, they're forcing us to pay for abortion, murder by way of abortion. They're including the fact that if a baby is, there's an attempt to abort a child from the mother's womb, and that baby survives the murderous attempt to destroy the life, that life should be protected. That baby should be taken to the doctor of the hospital to receive medical care. But, ladies and gentlemen, a bill was before the House, and the bill passed 220-210, and all 210 of the no votes came from Democrats. I'm looking at the headline that says, 210 Democrats vote against a bill requiring medical care for any baby or babies born alive after an abortion attempt. Democrats said the bill would interfere with families' medical decision. That was a statement, by the way, again from Jerry Nadler, the Looney Tune that's in the House. I believe he's losing his mind. But that's just my opinion. This article reads in part, nearly every Democrat on Wednesday voted against the legislation that would require immediate medical attention for babies who are born alive after an attempt was made to abort them. The House panel, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which says any infant born alive after an attempted abortion is a legal person for all purposes under the United States laws of the United States of America. Doctors then would be required to care for those infants as a reasonably diligent and conscientious health care practitioner would render to any other child born alive. The bill passed 220-210 with all 210 no votes coming from the Democratic Party. This article further states, the latter portion of it, Democrats overwhelmingly rejected the bill. Representative Jerry Nadler, Democrat of New York, argued that the bill would set up a new requirement that would directly interfere with the doctor's medical judgment and dictate a medical standard of care that may not be appropriate in all circumstances. That's a word salad. I listened to him in his statement and was a word salad. Nothing that he said made sense. He repeated and re-repeated some of his partial statements in relationship to that. He and other Democrats, this article says, said the requirement to eventually take infants who survive abortion to a hospital may not be in the best interest of that family. Ladies and gentlemen, since when is it not the best interest if you have a child that's born, that survived an attempt to be murdered in the mother's womb, that baby survives and is birthed, to say that somehow, some way, that baby as a human being doesn't have a right to live? Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the commandment, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. This is what makes it illegal, ladies and gentlemen, for a person to go out on the street, shoot someone, point blank, killing them. This is the reason if they're caught, they're tried, they're convicted, they're either sentenced to prison for life or they're sentenced to die in some form of execution. Ladies and gentlemen, it comes from that command, thou shalt not kill. But ladies and gentlemen, the Democratic Party is pushing and paying for a murder by way of abortion, including that baby that's delivered alive, even after an attempt to murder it by way of abortion. And ladies and gentlemen, it's being paid for by our tax dollars by the millions, hundreds of millions of dollars being paid out to the Planned Parenthood abortuary murder machine to continue murdering babies, healthy human beings that are helpless otherwise to be preserved. This administration, ladies and gentlemen, I believe has further murdered millions by way of being responsible for the murder of using the COVID-19 experimental jab. Now, perhaps you disagree with that. I don't. I believe that is committing murder. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. One article I read the other day says that about half of Americans are now waking up and recognizing and realizing something is woefully wrong. About half of Americans have awakened to the fact that multitudes are dropping dead around the globe and right here in America that are otherwise healthy people. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the Biden administration and all of the Democratic Party, the Socialist Marxist Democrats, are guilty of violating the commandment, thou shalt not kill. They're involved in the murder machine called the COVID jab. We'll talk about that further. I've got stacks and stacks and stacks of articles that's revealing more and more every day that the COVID jab, the CDC and the FDA knew from the outset that it was not efficacious, that it would not carry out what they claimed that it would. They said it would be 97% efficacious. One of them said 99% efficacious, that is beneficial to prevent COVID, to prevent death from COVID. Ladies and gentlemen, all of those statements have been proven to be lies. It has been used as a mass genocide to destroy mega millions around the globe and right here in America. I believe I have Greg on the line. Greg, give you the question and comment, please.
You know, that's the tip of the iceberg. When I say the tip of the iceberg, in so many different areas, apparently Democrats have no respect for life. No respect for life. And, you know, some of the most egregious, if you will, acknowledgments of that lack of respect for life is you have individuals in the Democratic Party will talk about the need to operate like China. Like, you keep in mind, in the context of COVID, China was doing lockdowns to the point that certain facilities, certain high-rise apartment complexes may be seen to have a lot of infection. So they would weld the door shut and let the people die inside the high-rises. Okay. You're prohibited from moving altogether, and then have drones out announcing to the people, stay indoors. And literally, if your dog needs to go out, you still can't go out, kind of thing. And you had Democrats in the midst of that pointing to China, saying that basically they're doing it the right way. You go, do you not know that, you know, not only did they build the virus in China, but that those lockdowns, that's called totalitarianism, authoritarianism, dictatorial governance. But keep in mind, that's the kind of governance that they would like to have for America. And there's zero respect at all for human life, whether that human life happens to be in the womb, out of the womb, or at old age in a facility. Now, we saw that in the case of the governor of New York. Oh, you have COVID? Go right back. We're gonna not just open the doors. We're going to encourage that you go right back to that retirement home and take it to everybody else that's at the highest risk of any category. You over, 65 years old? You already have two or three or four comorbidities? Yeah, go right on back and share that COVID with somebody else. That's the evil. By the way, that it was very rarely called out except for in a few instances where high-profile individuals lost a loved one. But that was never really dealt with. That was never really dealt with. And all of the absolute dictatorial, the totalitarian meaning wanting to control every facet of your life, control, regulate, or dictate every facet of your life. That's what we saw with COVID, but that's what they want for every area of your life. They want to control what you drive, the way of your automobile, the kind of electricity, the kind of range that you have in your, the kind of light bulbs that you have in your house, and by the way, what you have to ingest or have injected into your body. That's the level of crazy we've gotten to, and again, zero respect for human life.
Absolutely. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Greg Youngblood, one of our four sons. Greg lives up in the southern tip of heaven called Northeast Tennessee. Greg, what's the weather like up there this morning?
Well, it's not pleasant this morning, but it is still the southern tip of heaven. It's absolutely astounding here in East Tennessee, in the great Houston Valley, the great Smoky Mountains. I wouldn't trade it for any other place on earth, but if you're coming from the Northeast or California, maybe you just pick another state because we're doing pretty good right here. We don't need to import any of the leftist lunacy that we see in California or New York. Let's just say it that way.
Yes, indeed. In fact, Greg, you touched on that, the lunacy right there in Philadelphia. They're talking about putting in, watched it on the early morning Fox News. They're talking about putting in a facility that will allow the drugs heads, the potheads, those that are addicted to drugs, to go in and at taxpayers' money, paying for the needle, paying for the drug, to be able to shoot in the arm of that person going in doses of all kinds of drugs that otherwise would be, and the federal government still calls those drugs illegal, but yet we have the government in state after state after state that's setting up the injection centers. Wouldn't that be committing murder? Because in the long run, that's going to take that person's life. That's part of thou shalt not kill. Is there anything that would be considered in there? You go back to what Jesus said, love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Would that be considered loving the neighbor? How do you view that? How should our listeners view that? Perhaps some say, well, you know, that's good. It's better than getting dirty needles and being able to shoot up on the street and overdose, et cetera, et cetera. What's the difference? How should we view that that's taking place now?
No, I think it's all – that's a great idea. That is just a great idea. We need to do that, provide needles for shooting up, provide private clean spaces for shooting up. We probably need to invite illegals to stay in high-rise, very expensive hotels, motels, give them EBT cards, free education, free health care, right on down the list. We ought to provide a limousine service for drunks to enable their activity. We should provide for every lazy person to stay at home and get an $800 a week EBT card anyway, because we wouldn't want them to have to do that horrible thing called work. You know, that's a four-letter word. That's a bad thing. That's a dangerous thing. We shouldn't force them to do anything like that. We should cancel anything, you know, that under the Clinton administration was called welfare to work programs. We ought to do everything we can to enable every bad thing that a person may engage in the society, because that's what will be good for us. Have you lost your ever-loving mind? This is – how far can we possibly go down Looney Road? This is insane. This is literally the definition of that Isaiah 5:20, you know, the calling good evil and evil you call good, bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter, good for bad. But do you understand, folks? That's the lunacy that you see in California, you see it in New York, and what Democrats, what liberals, what leftists, what Marxists want to take nationwide. They know the policies are abject failures everywhere they're tried, and because they're such failures in blue states, they want to force those policies nationwide. They want to force you to pay for everyone's misdeeds. understand, even within the lettered community, your LGBTQIAP plus minus divided by, it's not good enough for them to participate in their activities. They want for you to not just countenance them and keep your mouth shut, but they want you to countenance them and then subsidize them, pay for them. Abortion, it's not good enough that we're slaughtering unborn babies. Baby's still in the womb. They want you to say it's okay, and now we want to take this last budget, the $1.7 trillion, I believe there was another $545 million on the table for family planning. You do know what that means. That means that Planned Parenthood gets it, and they help subsidize the abortions of young ladies all over this country, not only slaughtering that infant in the womb, but scarring a mother for life. These people are twisted. Now they're rolling it into, we want to do gender mutilation and destroy these children, pump them full of hormones of the opposite sex, and destroy their lives permanently. But, hey, while they're destroying those children's lives, they are making a mint. Do you understand? These industries, they're driven by that cash. Of course, they're driven by an absolutely evil, wicked, wretched heart, but they're driven by that cash, that $545 million that they stole from you. I'm sorry, they didn't steal it from you. They stole it from your kids, your grandkids, your great-great-grandkids, because they put it on the credit card that our kids and our grandkids will have to pay back. Since when do you take a bankrupt country, and borrow money from your kids' kids to kill current kids that would have been born this year will be slaughtered, and they will use taxpayer dollars that future generations will have to pay back to perform the slaughter. I'm not sure if you could draw a more twisted picture than what we are viewing today.
Absolutely. It goes back to thou shall not kill, and it's in total disobedience. It's thumbing the nose in God and laughing at God, denying the word of God. And Greg, that is not just in the realm of, as you spoke of so clearly, abortion, the transgenderism, which is will destroy lives. Tom called in earlier. I have an article that shows, I believe, some 146,000 in the teen and the preteen age group. It's already been mutilated that will be destroying their lives, as a result of the transgenderism, being paid for by taxpayer dollars, being pushed and promulgated by taxpayer dollars. Even if a person is in the military and decides he wants to be a she rather than a he, then that transitional surgery paid for out of taxpayer funds, and the health maintenance for that person for the rest of the life out of health, out of taxpayer dollars. Greg, I'm looking at an article that says Dr. Lena Wynn slammed after admitting there's been overcounting of COVID deaths 2.5 years late. Wynn claimed, that's Dr. Wynn, that the actual COVID-19 deaths could be only 30% or less of what is being reported. And it's a massive 3-page article. And so the bottom line is, Greg, what we're now finding out, and you and I have talked about it and suspicioned it, talked about it for two and a half years now, that's what they were doing. A person could sneeze and go in the hospital, and they claim it's COVID. Recently had an individual that we're aware of that's in the military, went in for a coughing and sneeze, and it was just a common cold, and were blatantly told by the physician, medical care, we're going to put it down at COVID regardless of what you have. We're going to call it COVID anyway. But we're finding now that the number of COVID deaths was absolutely astronomically enhanced to frighten everybody into believing that they need to take the COVID jab. Greg, speak to the issue for a moment for our listeners. The danger of the COVID jab, what it's doing in the healthy young, let's just use arbitrarily and capriciously 18 to 50-year-old age group. Is there evidence, do we have evidence today that would validate the fact that we could honestly say that the COVID jab is designed to kill healthy people in America and around the globe?
Well, young people are paying the price, particularly young men. And, you know, we won't go down this category of trying, you know, this path of trying to, because this class is affected, you know, make it a racial thing or a sexist thing or break ourselves down. But I will just say on a straight demographic chart, young males from, I believe, 25 to 44 are paying the highest price when it comes to side effects associated with the vaccines. That's out of multiple reports, both nationally and internationally. Mortality rates, where they're calling them excess mortalities, are up by as much as 80%, which a 10% rise would be considered like a 200-year black swan event, something really, really weird, something really, really unusual. Well, that number is at 80% in some places, which ought to be on the front page of every single newspaper. You can't bring it up, though. Matter of fact, even when the CDC is finally admitting they're investigating certain things like heart issue, cardiac issues over 65 years old with more recent booster jabs. Well, they're finally studying that, but try to share that information. You'll still find outlets like Fascist Book and Twitter, and I'm sure Google and Apple are in the background covering it up. They will still pull elements of the story and kind of either block it, make it so it is not easily spread, shared, or whatever. Why are they scared of real information getting out? In the case of Dr. Nguyen and pointing to the case mortality not being as high as was initially announced, first off, it would scare you into getting the jab. But second off, it was the perverse incentive of telling doctors and hospitals, doctors' offices, that if you check this box, you get this much money. And forget about filing insurance. The feds are just going to write you a check. That was the case with ventilators early on. I think the bonus was like a $37,000 guaranteed payout if somebody went on ventilators. So you had hospitals taking in COVID patients, with flu patients, and immediately putting them on a ventilator. Did they need a ventilator? Many of them, no. But they put them on a ventilator immediately because there was a $37,000 payout. Clients were coming in, and what they needed was normal respiratory virus care, okay? And instead, they got remdesivir. Well, y'all look at, they have several names for it, but y'all look at the drug and what the potential side effects are and what the ramifications are of taking that drug. It ain't good a lot of times. But they forced that into people, gave them a 5-day or 10-day regimen. Next thing you know, their kidneys are shutting down. By the way, folks, as I'm saying this, this may resonate with some of you. You may go, that's exactly what they did to my aunt, my uncle, my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad. Understand, a lot of this had to do with how much money they were going to get paid. Because remdesivir is the only drug I've heard of in my life that they were giving a 20% bonus to prescribe and administer remdesivir. Is there a problem with that? I think there is. I want to know who in the world okayed giving – what drug do you ever – oh, we'll give you a 20% bonus if you administer this drug. You have to wonder now, in retrospect, now while it was going on, while the ball was moving, I'm reading thousands of pages. Dad, you were reading thousands of pages. I have a brother that was reading thousands of pages, and you have to pour through CDC documents, NIH documents, it's mostly CDC and NIH, I'll confess to you folks. Ton of this stuff we knew early on. These are problems. Red flags are going up, but you can't share the information. I was punished more times by Fascist Book over the past 2 years than I ever recall. I was completely muted and censored. You know what? Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people were treated the same way to keep you from being able to know the truth. And guess what? Because people didn't know the truth, some people died. Other people, doctors, hospitals, hospital groups, they got paid really, really well. They literally got to bury many of their mistakes. It is an evil thing that we've just countenanced, and folks on the left want to take this crud nationwide and keep it going into perpetuity and control every element of your lives. They have no respect for human life, respect for freedom.
In fact, Joe Biden just renewed the National Health Emergency dictum that is in place today, the edict that he voiced some year and a half, 2 years ago. Greg, you touched on something. I've got an article in hand. Says the Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, on COVID vaccines, savior or murderer, ? 19,000% increase in senior deaths after the COVID shot. The data from the U.S. Government Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, VAERS, shows a 19,000% increase in the death of seniors following the experimental COVID-19 vaccine. And it goes on to talk about the average death and the statistical data, et cetera, et cetera. And, Greg, it's bad enough that that is the murder tool that's been used, and it's been used as a genocidal methodology to reduce the population by the push by the globalists. And yet at the same time, it's sad to see how some families and parents have been treated. Look at an article, Greg, that says, Dad says FEMA tried to bribe him after his teenage son post-vaccine death. He refused to do so and went public. Ernest Ramirez says he wanted to do the right thing for his son, so he decided to have his 16-year-old son, Ernesto, take the COVID-19 vaccine. After all, what was the harm? Ramirez was told the vaccine was 100% safe. 5 days later, April the 24th, 2021, his son suddenly died from complications related to an enlarged heart. Soon after his son's death, the father says he received a call from the Federal Emergency Management Agency. According to him, the agency officials asked him to change the cause of death for his son and rated his COVID from COVID. The father said they offered to help him financially in exchange to do so. When the news came out, when the media and the government were told that it was safe and effective vaccine, we were told that everyone needed it to get the vaccine for our health and to stop the spread. So he said, it's time for me to get my son vaccinated. I decided to do the right thing to keep my son safe. This turned out to be the worst decision of my life. Suddenly my son was dead, and I was having to plan a funeral. He said the autopsy showed the teenager had myocarditis, inflammation of the heart muscle. 7 months later, FEMA contacted me and asked me to change the cause of death so my son would show COVID so that they could help me financially. In other words, and it's a three-page article, Greg, but laborious details given. But the bottom line was, here's a man, 16-year-old son, murdered by way of the COVID vaccine, and then the brazenness of the federal government, with murder in mind, wanted him to change it, have it changed to COVID, rather than simply being myocarditis as a result of the taking the COVID shot. That's taking place across the nation and around the world. And the thing is that I want to point out, Greg, to our listeners, is that there's a mindset somehow, some way, that the government says that that settles it, it ought to be done. Another headline, Greg. Government and Pfizer documents reveal Gates and Schwab depopulation agenda. COVID vaccines are being used for mass murder and population control. It's a great article, fantastic article. Greg, we got about a minute and a half on the broadcast. With all of that sad news, bad news, deplorable news in relationship to how the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party are absolutely disobeying God's word, thou shalt not kill. How should we respond as Christians? What should be our takeaway today from this broadcast?
First off, from a governmental standpoint, we need to realize the role of government. You know, if you go back to the Declaration, we know that we have rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it reads on, and governments are instituted among men to secure these rights. When you look at it, folks, government is there to secure your rights, not to absolutely control you in a dictatorial fashion. And when it comes to respect for life, the Word of God is very, very clear. And we see in Psalms 139, the psalmist writes, "For you formed me in my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." We're God's creation. Created, we're all image bearers of God. We're created in the image of our Maker. And any person that has a disrespect for life has a disrespect for God. Understand,
yes,
what's at the very core of this.
Absolutely.
Disdain for life. It's a disdain for God.
Yes.
So stand,
Greg,
up for the Lord today. Stand up,
yes,
for life.
Thank you, Greg, for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
By 295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.